In less than 15 years, General Motors says it will no longer sell gas-powered cars and trucks. The company announced last week that it will only sell zero-emission vehicles by 2035 and then be carbon neutral by 2040. Other manufacturers, including Ford, Nissan, and Volkswagen, have announced similar goals but on a less ambitious time frame. GM's move comes a week after President Biden signed an executive order reinstating fuel economy standards set during the Obama administration. He also signed a separate order directing the federal government to buy all electric vehicles, and Biden is pushing for other ways to help the electric vehicle industry. On Thursday, White House spokesman Vedant Patel praised GM in a statement saying, quote, "We applaud efforts by the private sector to further embrace renewable and clean energy technologies." He went on to say, as the president and many others have said, efforts like this will help grow our economy and create good-paying union jobs. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this move away from gas engines? Do you have an electric vehicle, or would you like to get one? If you're on the fence, what is holding you back from doing it? And if you work at an auto shop, how do you feel about the shift toward electric cars, SUVs, and trucks? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Jamie Page Deaton is executive editor of the Best Cars team at U.S. News. Jamie, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Well, how lofty is this plan by General Motors to say have no more, internal combustion engines in their vehicles by 2040?
Well, you know, it's not as lofty as it may seem at first glance. If you actually look at the press release that General Motors put out, what they say is, and I'm quoting here, GM aspires to eliminate tailpipe emissions from new light-duty vehicles by 2035. And so there's two key words there, aspires mm-hmm. being the first one. This is kind of like me saying, you know, I aspire to be supermodel thin and a millionaire. It's a great thing to aspire to, but that's not necessarily a goal and it's not necessarily a commitment. So that's one thing that people really need to keep in mind. The other part of this, which I think is key, is this the word of light duty vehicles. Light duty vehicles are those basically passenger vehicles that weigh under 6,000 pounds. Now, the big money makers for GM and really almost all car companies is their trucks. So if you have, you know, a Chevy Silverado that weighs more than 6,000 pounds, it's probably not going to be covered under this plan that GM is putting out there. And those are some of GM's most profitable models, so they're not going to want to mess with that. So how lofty is this goal? I would say it's pretty gosh darn lofty, but let's treat it as, you know, what it is. It's something that they're going to try to do. And really, even if they didn't use such a soft word as aspires, you know, it's not like there's anybody who's going to make them do it. There's not going to be any penalty if they don't make this goal. So it's a good thing that they're going to try and do. But how lofty is it? Well, it's not as lofty as maybe everybody's making it out to be.
How does it compare with comparable statements from other auto manufacturers with longer timelines, it looks like, but are they doing more than aspiring?
Well, I mean, if you look at all of these too, I mean, it's important to really look at and parse the language here. They're doing more than aspiring, but at the same time, they might say that they're going to electrify their lineup or provide more electrified vehicles. That's a key term because within the automotive industry, electrified does not mean just electric. Electrified means has hybrid components or has some electric components. So it could still have a gas engine, and that's something that a lot of them are looking at. Now, what's really, though, pushing these companies to make these pledges and to really focus on them, though, is the wider market and the wider global market for cars. The U.S. market is no longer the largest and most dominant new car market in the world. That's actually China. China accounts for 1/3 of global new car sales and is the largest market currently. And China has announced that they will no longer allow the sale of new gas and diesel cars to be sold there past 2035. So any vehicle that GM wants to sell in China or any car company wants to sell in China is going to need to be either electric or hydrogen fuel cell by 2035. And so it's racing for that slice of the market that's so important to them. And China's not alone in this. Britain, Ireland, and the Netherlands will also ban the sale of new gas and diesel cars starting in 2030. So this is really, you know, this is a goal that GM has set. You know, it's something they're aspiring to do. And if they don't do it, there's not going to be any sort of legal consequence or anything anything like that. But the consequence will be they will be shut out of these markets or won't have as many models available in these all-important markets for them. So, I mean, this is one, I mean, that's really the main reason why a lot of car companies are now rushing towards this is China is making them.
How about the incentive structure in the U.S.? We had this big push on the under the Obama administration to raise mileage standards, reversed in the Trump administration, returned in the Biden administration. How much is that affecting long-term planning for auto manufacturers?
You know, it really depends on the auto manufacturers. Now, GM is one auto manufacturer who welcomed Trump's changing of the emission standards. And while other auto manufacturers actually stayed with the Obama standards and actually joined in with the state of California and said, we're going to meet the California standards, which are comparable to the Obama standards. GM said, you know what, we're going to work with the Trump administration and go with their standards. And now that Biden's in, it's understandable if we've got whiplash around this, they're announcing that they all have, that they're planning or aspiring to go all electric by 2035. And so, it's forgivable there's still a lot of environmentalists who are looking at GM and, GM is still kind of in the doghouse with them because GM does have a lineup and a lot of their sales are built on large SUV, large trucks. But it's still, a step in the right direction. And these emission standards, under the Biden administration are going to go forward. And it just really comes down to it's almost less important now what the U.S. does because we are no longer the biggest car market in the world. What really matters is what China does because car manufacturers are realizing that that's where they're going to get the majority of their new sales. They need to build models for that area. And the U.S. is just going to go along with it. Just like for many years, we were the largest car market in the world. So everybody just kind of followed along with what we did.
Talking to Jamie Page Deaton, executive editor of the U.S. News Best Cars team, looking at commitments or aspirations from auto manufacturers to go all electric or electrified in the next 15, 20 years. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts and your questions on the electric vehicle market. 800-642-1234 is the number. Bruce joins us now in Wautoma. Bruce, hi.
How you doing?
Good. What do you want to ask about, Bruce?
Well, I got a question. I mean, it's fine and dandy. They want to do all this stuff, but aren't those, I drive big rig and that's what I'm doing right now on my way to Texas. I find it amazing. I see a lot of the electric cars on the road. I see a lot of Teslas and whatnot, but you got everything in your house, everything that goes by semi. They were talking about making a big push to make electric trucks, electric semis. I mean, I don't know what the amount of batteries and aren't those batteries supposed to be the nickel cadmium? I mean, isn't that supposed to be like super toxic?
Bruce, thanks for the call. Jamie, I don't know how much you focus on the big rig side of the market. Do you know anything about electric semis, first of all?
Yeah, that's a big challenge that a lot within, that industry are trying to solve. What it really comes down to is, and the caller's right, these batteries on a large truck, you need a lot of batteries, and that's going to take a long time to charge. And that's really kind of the issue that faces not only, the hauling industry, but also the passenger car industry. It's the question of infrastructure. Now, these longer range trucks are actually farther along in development than I think a lot of people really realize. But what's missing is the ability to charge them when they're on the road. So, I mean, if somebody's driving, taking a big rig from Wisconsin down to Texas, like the caller is, I mean, that's going to, without a place to charge it, it's not going to be able to happen. And it's the same thing too. When you see a lot of Teslas on the interstate, that's because Tesla was very aggressive in launching their own charging infrastructure. And this is something that, President Biden's executive order on climate change actually really delved into building a charging and fast charging network for electric cars, because the development not only needs to come on the battery side, where we need to get batteries that can charge faster, hold more charge and thus deliver more miles. But the other side of it is we need to be able to charge them. And it's relatively simple. If you're a person who lives in a single family home and you've got a garage, you put a charging station in your garage and it's no big deal. You charge your car like you charge your cell phone every night. But if you're somebody who lives in an apartment or you're taking a long road trip, the infrastructure becomes really key. And that's something that needs to be developed alongside the battery technology and alongside the automotive technology.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking about General Motors and other companies making at least tentative commitments to go carbon neutral in the next couple of decades. Jamie Page Deaton is with us, executive editor of the U.S. News Best Cars team. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about automakers phasing out or at least partially phasing out gas engines? Do you have an electric car? Would you want one? What are the roadblocks for you in doing so? Call in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation, take more of your calls coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're talking about electric vehicles and automakers' plans to, or at least aims to, be carbon neutral in the near-ish future. You could join in with your questions or experiences with electric vehicles at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Eric is with us in Duluth. Eric, hi.
Yes. Hello. Good afternoon. So even as I am currently driving my Chevy Volt, I don't trust GM. GM killed the EV1 back in the late 90s, and they killed the Volt as soon as they lost tax credits and just left themselves one EV with nothing in the pipeline, which is obvious. And if you look at what's happening with the Cadillac dealers bailing on GM when they were given the choice, I've got a Tesla on order. I just can't wait for GM any longer.
Eric, thanks for the call. So, JB, Eric's been hurt before by GM, doesn't trust them on this commitment.
Yeah, I mean, GM, you know, and Eric mentioned, you know, the EV1 that GM killed, and then the Volt, which is actually an extended range electric car. I mean, it runs on electricity, but it has a gasoline powered generator for when you're unable to plug in and charge it. But he's incorrect. There are GM electric cars in the pipeline, and that's why GM is feeling a little bit bullish about this. So for one, is the Hummer EV, which is just actually like you would imagine. It's a Hummer, like the old military spec vehicles. It's an electric car. They're bringing back the brand. It's meant to be an off-road monster truck. It has 1,000 horsepower, 1,000 pound-feet of torque. It costs well over $100,000, and they've sold out the first year of production already. And then beyond that, you know, he mentioned that Cadillac dealers are bailing. Cadillac dealers are bailing on GM because GM is planning on making Cadillac an all-electric brand. And one of the challenges that GM has is dealers, and this is all automakers as well. Dealers in general don't like electric cars because dealers make a lot of their money on service visits. And electric cars require less maintenance and less service than gasoline or diesel powered cars do. So it also requires, you know, a lot of, remodeling of your station, new tech, or of your dealership, new techs, new tools. You have to retrain all your staff on how electric cars work. So it's understandable that, you know, a lot of dealers are just rather not investing in this new infrastructure that GM is requiring as Cadillac becomes an all-electric dealer. And this is something that GM has to work on. You know, they really haven't, built a lot of trust with, you know, electric car buyers, and they are really feeling, I think, the heat not only from Tesla but from other up-and-comers like Rivian and Lucid Motors to really bring, you know, the electric car to market and not kill it like they've done in the past. So this is really an open question: is GM going to be able to follow through, or are they going to continue to rely on large trucks and SUVs? And you know, honestly, if GM wants to stay in business again, and if they want access to that Chinese market, they're going to have to follow through. So I know Eric maybe doesn't trust GM, but this time, you know, he's got all of China pushing him to do it. So, you know, this is one where GM probably will have to follow through on it. And so he might not end up being disappointed. But on the other hand, those Teslas really are fun. So I don't begrudge him for buying one.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Ethan now in Chippewa Falls. Ethan, hi.
Hey there. I just got a comment. The energy has to come from somewhere. So is making everything more electric going to put more demand on, say, burning coal to make the electricity?
Ethan, thanks for the call. Yeah, the electric car is agnostic. It doesn't care if the electricity comes from a solar or wind generator or a coal plant or a natural gas plant. What do we know about where the electricity is coming from, Jamie?
Yeah, this is something that's key. You know, they'll say they aspire to be emissions free, you know, only sell emissions free light duty vehicles by 2035. And what they mean is emission free at the tailpipe or, you know, lack thereof. So, you know, Ethan is absolutely right. The electricity has to come from somewhere. However, you know, the electricity that comes, what we've found is that electric cars, even if they're getting their electricity from a coal-fired plant, they're still emitting fewer carbon gases than a gasoline-powered car. And he raises another issue, though. The nation's electrical grid is out of date and already very heavily taxed. So I mentioned, you can just come home if you're charging your car at home. You come home at night, you plug it in like you would your cell phone. Well, what does that mean if everybody's doing that? And this is an issue that California is really looking at because their grid is so overtaxed. California's already had issues, you know, with blackouts, you know, in the past. So this is something that the nation's going to have to look at in terms of upgrading their grid if a lot of electric cars come on it. Now, the nice thing about these electric cars, though, is they tend to come, they tend to be very smart and they tend to be able to talk to the grid. So it's not like your refrigerator that's drawing power all the time. The electric car can, you know, you can come in, you plug it in, you come home, you plug it in. And then the grid's able to say to the car, you know, could you wait a couple hours until you start charging? And so the electric company can kind of roll the charge through all of the cars and, you know, in a given section of the grid. So they're not overwhelmed because most of these electric cars have these smart charging features. So there are some fixes in place already, but definitely the question of infrastructure and the question of where the electricity is coming from are two open ones as EVs tend to, yes, they start to really hit the market.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking about electric vehicles with Jamie Page Deaton from U.S. News' Best Cars team. Back to your calls now. Richard is with us in Madison. Richard, hello.
Hi. My comment mainly is it's about time. I've been waiting for the rest of the nation to catch up for quite a long time. I work in the electric bicycle industry right now. I drive an electric car. You covered a lot of the points about being able to time your charge to off-peak hours. But I want you to touch a little bit on other vehicles besides automobiles, too. There's electric bicycles. A lot of your small engine applications like lawnmowers, and I can't wait for a robot snowblower so I can look out the window and watch it blow my driveway.
Useful these days here in Wisconsin. Richard, thanks a lot for the call. So spillover, Richard, is seeing not just in our cars from our development of this technology, Jamie.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, there's, he mentioned electric bicycles. We're also seeing a lot of electric scooters, which are great. You know, I personally, we have my family, we use an electric lawnmower. It's the best thing ever. You don't have to go to the gas station and drive home with a smelly can of gas just to mow your lawn. And then, you know, other things like snow blowers and leaf blowers, these small engines are so incredibly dirty in the amount of pollution that they release, you know, into the air. And so the more that we can transfer these over, and you'll see, you know, battery technology for things like weed whackers, leaf blowers, all that stuff. You'll see these lawn tools are starting to become more and more useful. Now that said, you know, my lawnmower, I've got a small lot, so we can run it for about 45 minutes, but then it needs to charge. But that's no big deal because we have a small lawn. But for, you know, other people who have a little bit more space, that's going to be a consideration. I'd also say too that, you know, just within the automotive realm, electric cars are so much better than they used to be. You know, if you looked at maybe a Nissan Leaf, you know, back in 2015, you really owe it to yourself to take a look at cars like the Ford Mustang Mach-E, even the Chevy Bolt. Mini has a great Mini Electric. All of these are cars, and even Porsche has a Porsche Taycan, which is basically a four-door electric sedan. All of these EVs are so much better. They no longer drive like golf carts. They no longer feel, you know, cheap and tinny and unsafe and loud. They're actually quite luxurious, quite comfortable. They can work in with your daily life very, very well. And so it's something that, you know, consumers really should take another look at because they're not just, you know, for kind of tree huggers anymore. You know, the Ford Mustang Mach-E is a very, you know, family-friendly, small crossover. It's sporty. And it's just something that, you know, more consumers, don't just limit your shopping as you're looking for a new car. Don't just limit it to gas-only cars. If there's an electric or even plug-in hybrid model there available, take a look at it, because I think you'll be surprised at, you know, the quality and comfort that you find there. Plus, they're really fun to drive because a gasoline engine, you have to wait for it to spool up to have all the torque available to you. And torque is the force that launches a car from a stop. But electric cars, they have all their power available from the instant that you step on the accelerator because they tend to have a lower center of gravity because the batteries are all on the bottom. They handle incredibly well. So even if you're somebody, you know, who's an enthusiast and really likes sporty driving, these are something that you should check out.
In our last minute or so, Jamie, I wanted to ask about another piece of the puzzle from the Biden administration saying, hey, this big customer called the federal government, we're going all electric as soon as we can, but we want U.S.-made and halfway at least union-made cars. Sounds like that's going to be tough to do right now, but does that create an incentive for more automakers to meet that demand here in the U.S.?
Yes, absolutely. Right now, I mean, there are only a couple of EVs that are built in the U.S., and they're built by Hyundai in Alabama, where their workforce isn't unionized. So they're only able to get kind of half the cars that the federal government needs. They could also get some, you know, Chevy Bolts, which is Chevy's current electric car. But, you know, at the same time, this is going to be a challenge. I mean, this is a big customer. Of course, not all of the federal government cars are going to, you know, their needs are going to be able to be met by electric cars. I don't think you want, you know, when the FBI is entering a hostage negotiation, you probably don't want them to roll up in a Chevrolet Bolt. You want them to roll up in a big Bearcat. But this is, again, you know, there are all these government forces coming, you know, from overseas, and now more government forces and incentives coming, you know, from the Biden administration to push car companies towards electric cars. And what's really the missing piece here, though, is will consumers adopt them? And that's really, you know, what's going to cause a little bit more of automakers to make that shift. They're going to make more cars available to consumers. And if consumers decide they like them, we get the charging infrastructure in place, then, you know, you'll see your gas engine go the way of the horse.
Gives us a lot to talk about in future conversations. Jamie, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jamie Page Deaton is the executive editor of the U.S. News Best Cars team. We talked to her about General Motors' goal to end tailpipe emissions by 2035 and be carbon neutral by 2040. You can still let us know about your own experience with electric cars or interest therein. Email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us @CentralTimeWPR.